Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So who sees poetry in the numbers and jargon of tax returns? Novelist David Foster Wallace had the capacity to see that poetry. Here he speaks in the voice of a rather philosophical IRS accountant. I'll read it. There's something very interesting about civics and selfishness, and we get to ride the crest of it. Here in the U.S., we expect government and law to be our conscience, our superego, you could say. It has something to do with liberal individualism and something to do with capitalism, but I don't understand much in the theoretical aspect of what I see. It's what I live in. Americans are, in a way, crazy. We think of ourselves as citizens when it comes to our rights and privileges, but not to our responsibilities. We abdicate our civic responsibilities to the government and expect the government, in effect, to legislate morality. That's the late author David Foster Wallace from his posthumous novel The Pale King, who found an intricate story in the arcane depths of the tax code, the story of an IRS employee at the Regional Examination Center in Peoria, Illinois. Arthur Caulfield is tax law professor at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, and the author of a forthcoming paper in the Pittsburgh Tax Review titled David Foster Wallace on Tax Policy, How to Be an Adult and Other Mysteries of the Universe. Congratulations, Mr. Caulfield.
Well, thank you.
You've really put some things together here. What are other tax experts likely to make of your paper, do you think?
You know, I'll have to wait and see, of course, until it's published. I've got a draft version online, and I'm hearing some very positive comments. I think that folks like myself, who are tax lawyers and tax academics, will be attracted to this project because most people would run away from us like we had the plague when we start talking about taxation. So it's always nice to see an essay on this topic within our little industry.
What did you find in the words of David Foster Wallace? The Pale King was published posthumously and wasn't all written. I mean, it was all written by him, but it was put together, assembled by one of his editors at the very end there.
That's right. He actually worked on it for 14 years, 1994 to 2008, when he committed suicide. And his editor, who was the same editor for his novel Infinite Jest, had to complete this so-called unfinished novel. And because it was unfinished, I was appointed in 2013 to the University of Texas at Austin. The Ransom Center at this university had purchased Wallace's collected works. And so I spent a semester sifting through his notes, his accounting notes, his background notes, and all the various thoughts he had on this project, in part because it was unfinished. I wanted to see if the editor had assimilated his views properly into this final project.
So you were fact-checking to a certain extent. You were sort of truth-telling, truth-checking. But did you also get intrigued and, in a sense, fall in love with Wallace's sort of philosophical thread here?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it wasn't just a fact-check. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Wallace. I've read his other two novels. This was actually only his third novel. And so it gave me a chance as a fan to kind of sift through his works. And I did find it a bittersweet experience. In one sense, it was inspiring. You got to see how this genius collected his thoughts and rendered them in such extraordinary prose into the final project. But on the other hand, of course, when you're looking through these notes, you realize that Wallace is gone, that he's committed suicide, and this will be it. And you know, one of the strange aspects of the project is I almost felt myself at times being angry with Wallace. You know, how could he do this to me? How could he do this to us by leaving us, which is, you know, somewhat irrational. But nevertheless, I felt that way.
I felt in reading the book that he was really on to something, that the, you know, nameless, anonymous clerks who sit in cubicles and constitute the cogs and wheels of America's government or whatever bureaucracy you want to name, have so often and were certainly characterized during the 20th century as being part of some monstrous death force that denied all of us individuality. And here's Wallace finding in such a character this kind of humanity And it's an homage to someone like you, who is a tax law professor. So personally, I would have imagined that it would have an emotional connection to you. But it also says something very happy about things that we don't view happy at all.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different interesting aspects of this project. One, of course, is you're exactly right. He infuses the lives of these tax bureaucrats at the IRS with almost a kind of heroism. I mean, when one thinks these guys are tax accountants, these men and women, when one thinks of this profession, you know, the typical reaction would be, oh my God, that's extraordinarily tedious, banal, mundane. And yet, to Wallace, no, that traditional narrative is absolutely incorrect, that these folks are more like heroes, and the work that they do has an important impact on the lives of ordinary Americans.
And each one of those ordinary Americans' returns is sort of like an X-ray of their citizenship, their belief in government, their cynicism about government, their faith in government. It's all there in the numbers.
Yes, and I think one of the things that he was trying to suggest was that previous generations of Americans, or maybe in my case Canadians, viewed this filling out of the return almost as a moral obligation. But now, as you've suggested earlier, it's all about, well, how much can I game the system? How much can I get away with? We hear that Mitt Romney's beaten his tax bill down to almost nothing. How about me? And so that's, you know, this transition in our culture is, I think, or was rather, very troubling to Wallace.
Before we go, do you think there's a way back to that very Canadian-sounding faith in, doing your tax return is almost a sacred act?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be overly cynical about this topic, but I think we may, that earlier era of sacrifice may be gone forever. I mean, one of the things that Wallace examines in The Pale King is the ongoing wealth produced by our culture and the impact of that, and maybe, as he viewed it, an almost selfishness that follows this enhanced wealth. And so I don't know if we can ever go back. I think we're stuck with what exactly Wallace's perspective for the time being, for the next few generations. But who knows? I mean, in his mind, he characterized this as the end of the democracy experiment, this selfishness. So It is quite troubling.
Arthur Cofield is a tax law professor at Queen's University with some thoughts about the late David Foster Wallace and his posthumous novel, The Pale King, all about an IRS accountant at a regional processing facility in Peoria, Illinois. Arthur Cofield's tax paper about David Foster Wallace will be published in the Pittsburgh Tax Review. It's titled David Foster Wallace on Tax Policy, How to Be an Adult, and Other Mysteries of the Universe. Thanks so much.
Thank you.